Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on October 9th, 2014, at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something was the premiere event at Humanity Montana's Festival of the Book and was part of the Missoula Public Library's The Big Read. 11 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, The Things We Carry. This week's story comes to us from Tamara Love and is titled Grandma Negotiations. Thank you for listening.
Go ahead, kill me if you want to. These words are being hurled at me from my grandmother, who is 86 years old, and she's standing down the hall. And she's looking at me, and she's inviting me to go ahead and kill her. So, it's 2004, January, and I have returned to Michigan to take care of my grandmother. And clearly, it's not going that well. So, I end up in Michigan because, there's three factors. For the past several months, my grandmother had been calling me and telling me that each time I talked to her, she would say, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to last very long. You know, this may be the last week. You should come home, and you should take care of me. And so this went on for several months. And then I get a call from one of our family friends, who's a bit more credible, and she says, you know, your grandmother's not eating. So my grandmother had stopped eating anything other than really saltine crackers. And she had also gotten sick, so she had, like, some sort of virus and was losing weight. So she's like, well, I'm not sure, you know, how she's doing, and I think you should come home. And I considered it, and I stayed where I was. And then finally I get a call from my older brother. And my older brother says, hey, I volunteered to go to Iraq, so you're going to need to come home and take care of Grandma. And I'm like, great. So clearly you can't take Grandma with you, so I guess I am going to have to come to Michigan. So that is how I end up in Michigan in January of 2004. Now, I was a bit resentful because, you know, one, it's like, who volunteers to go be near roadside bombs? Like, who does that? Apparently my older brother. So, because he was going to Iraq. And then I was also resentful because I was like, my mother had died early, so, like, because, and this was her mother, and I thought, you know, this should be your problem. You're supposed to be here dealing with this, and this is how, and I'll be honest, that's how I saw it at that point. And, but she had died and had kind of squirmed her way out of it, so it was, so it was left to my older brother and I, and I had a younger brother, but he, dying, right? Who does that? But I had a younger brother, and he was, like, too young to be of much use. I mean, he was, like, 8 years younger. So it was my older brother and I. And we had durable power of attorney. And so, like, I could be there, and I could take care of medical things and financial things and all that good stuff. and then my final resentment, so I had, like I said, three resentments. And my final one was that I get there, and she's not dying. Clearly not going anywhere anytime soon. And I'm like, you have all these people fooled. So, you know, I'm kind of there like a reticent adolescent teenager, you know, who's in her 30s. and not wanting to be there. And so we get to this moment of, you know, go ahead and kill me. And, you know, I'm not going to kill my grandmother, although I thought about it a few times. But, you know, so clearly we're having some challenges. But eventually, I do manage to, like, get my head out of my own ass, because that was basically what it was. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, since I am going to be here, what can I do? Before I get to that part, it's like I should tell you a few things about my grandmother. So my grandmother, well, she was a religious woman, and so she had, like, you know, taught Bible school, she taught Sunday school, and as a kid, you know, like, she was that person that I, you know, I loved, always loved when grandma showed up, because grandma would come, and there were always gifts, and, like, at Christmas time, my mother would get frustrated, because my grandmother would show up with, like, too many gifts, according to her. Of course, they were, like, perfect for us. And then, you know, and she also, like, she was supportive when I went off to college. She helped pay for school initially. But then as I got older, and really once my mother passed, things kind of changed, because my mother had been an only child, and then I was the only girl. So sort of some of the things that transferred from, you know, my mother transferred to me. And one of our first, I guess, challenging moments was when I changed my major. When I entered college, I had been a pre-med major. So, but then I was changing my major to become a social worker. And so my grandmother's words were, "You have failed yourself, you have failed God, and you have failed me." So this sort of wind beneath my wings was who I was going to live with for the next 7 months. But she, you know, so it was like it was a complicated relationship. But like I said, I did manage, you know, to get my head out of my butt, and I moved forward. So the one thing I thought about once I did that was, well, what can I leave for her? You know, what can be sort of a lasting thing? And I should tell you too. So my grandmother, she did have some health issues. Which, when I had been there the summer before, like, found out she had, like, a heart murmur. She had, you know, high blood pressure. She had cataracts in both eyes and glaucoma, and insisted on driving. And at night, which was not helpful. And then finally, when I was with her that previous summer, she had also been diagnosed as possibly having Alzheimer's. So this was causing some challenges as far as, like, remembering to take medication, just, you know, remembering things in general. Like, she clearly needed someone to be with her. I just wasn't necessarily convinced that person was me. So that was, you know, the state of her health. But what I decided in terms of, like, well, what could I leave for her? I thought, you know, for years we had been trying to get my grandmother to clean up her house. And I'm sure many of you can relate to having elder parents who you're like, gosh, I hope you deal with that stuff before you die, because we don't want to have to deal with it. So we had, like, for years, and even my mother, when she was living, had been trying to get my grandmother to kind of get rid of some of this stuff. And so, but my grandmother had grown up, you know, she had been through the Depression. She had raised her child by herself. She had grown up, you know, in poverty. She had been, the child of a sharecropper. So she was used to, like, for her, she's like, well, someone might be able to use that. And people from church and the community would always bring her stuff, which was horrible, because she would keep everything. And so, but I thought, well, one thing I could do is maybe clear out some things. And so one of the projects that I took on was actually her bedroom. And I thought, well, this would be a great Mother's Day present. And so so I commenced. And in the process of doing so, you know, I found, you know, so this is 2004. And so I found, you know, programs from, like, 1952, you know, where she had been done a Women's Day thing. And it wouldn't be just, like, one program. She'd have, like, 10 of them in case she wanted to, like, share them with other people. And so, you know, and there were Bible, you know, that she had devotionals. And, I mean, there's just, you know, and multiple Bibles. I mean, there's just, and then clothes, like, everywhere. And then she had, like, more than 200 hats. So, you know, so I commenced to just trying to put some order to this. And also just to kind of, my intention was to create a space that she, since she clearly was going to be spending a lot more time just in her room because she wasn't just moving around as much, but to create the space that she would want to be in. So there was definitely a negotiation process because, you know, she liked to keep things. We might think of it as hoarding, but she would just say, you know, she was a saver. So, you know, I'd be like, you know, you've got a couple copies, you know, or three copies of this book. Well, maybe you could just keep one. Well, but what if I want to use that book for something, you know? And it would be like, well, but we can maybe store it in the basement or give it to someone who might actually read it. Because when was the last time you read this? You know, it's like, and, but it, you know, so it's like back and forth with multiple things. So there were books, and then there were the tracks, and then there were the clothes, and then there were the hats. But the one thing that she also saved, which I'm sure she would not appreciate me sharing with you, where she had reached a point of being incontinent, and so she was concerned that she wouldn't have enough of these, you know, of the pads to, and so, but although she had, like, we had purchased like several packages of them, so she would never run out, but she insisted. And so when I was cleaning, I would like find them tucked away like in drawers and so forth, and it's like, and so and I would get rid of them. She's like, why are you getting rid of them? Because you've got like 200 new ones, you know? So, but I also could, from my perspective, it was like, you know, clearly we're going to take care and make sure you don't need this. But for her, you know, as an independent woman, like growing up all that time, it's like, you know, and being on her own, it's like, for her, it was like, well, this is how I take care of myself. This is how I ensure that I, you know, and I began to get that like after a while. But it was definitely this sort of ongoing battle. But I did eventually, you know, over a couple days, I finished her bedroom, and I extracted 26 large bags of garbage from her room that I tossed. In addition, and then there were some things I put in the basement. Like I said, it was a negotiation. And I remember I was, like, so proud, because it was like, you know, this is going to feel great. I'd gotten new curtains, new shades, new rugs for the floor. And so, you know, but I had kept her out of the room at some point because, like, she was kind of holding up the process. And so when she comes in, though, the first thing she says, did you throw away too much? And I was like, no, you know, you still got, you know, there's still things downstairs. But, you know, but my other concern, too, though, had been, will they take the garbage? Because 26 bags of garbage, usually you would like need to take to a dump or get a dumpster or something. But gratefully, that morning, they pulled up and they took all 26 bags. I was like, awesome. Please carry that away. But the thing, you know, so eventually, you know, after, like, I was there for about 7 months, and my brother eventually, he comes back, and I leave. But the thing that I carry with me, because I never lived with my grandmother as a kid, but I have to say, like, despite the challenges we had at the beginning, I so appreciate that I got that time and got to know her during that space when we were together. So that's it. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing, ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers, Luke Morgan Algeyer, Marlise Borchers, Michael Lapointe, Jenna Lyons, Kyle McAfee, Melissa Bangs, Jim Ambrose, Francis Scott, Jeremy Smith, Tamara Love, and Josh Wagner. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for February 17th at the Top Hat. The theme is adventure. See you then. Want to tell a story? Call us at 406-203-4683 or email us from the website at tellussomething.org to pitch your story idea.